Hey, speak for yourself, listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here. What my man, my favorite person, Emmanuel Acho in the building. Let's get it started right now with Baker Mayfield, who's made it clear he's been working harder and talking softer this offseason in an effort to bounce back from last year's disaster of a season. Baker is now entering year three, and NFL Network's Patrick Claibon says this is the put-up-or-shut-up year for the former number one overall pick. So, Acho, are you worried Baker is going to be a bust?
Absolutely.
If you're not worried that Baker's going to be a bust, you're lying to yourself, Marcellus. Ooh. You're lying to yourself. Baker Mayfield, think about the Baker that so many of us, that I fell in love with. Think about that.
You fell in love with him?
I fell in love with Baker. And mind you, he went to my college rival at the University of Oklahoma.
Wow.
I didn't care. My infatuation for Baker looked beyond my college affiliation to the University of Texas, and it looked at Baker for his greatness when he was at OU.
Traitor.
I didn't care. No, sir. No, sir. Facts over feelings.
Okay.
Sir. Facts over feelings.
Truth.
When
truth.
I looked at Baker in college, 71% completion percentage of junior year.
Yeah.
71% completion percentage of senior year.
Yeah.
He won the Heisman, number one overall pick. Baker was destined for greatness. He was destined. No way he could be a bust. But then, sir, he got to the NFL.
Huh?
And in his first year, six wins. Oh God. 6-7. He only had, a 63, 64% completion percentage? But it's his rookie season, Marcellus.
Hey,
it's going to get better.
Grown men, too.
I promise it's going to get better.
It's going to get better.
So when sophomore season comes around, Marcellus, what happens?
What that happened was?
Completion percentage down to 59%. Interceptions up to 21. And so now I'm worried. I'm concerned. I am overly cautious that Baker is in trouble. And if you don't think Baker in trouble, Marcellus, you're lying.
Ooh, I'm close to you. I'm not worried about him being a bust, but I am worried that he won't get his proper due in terms of perception. And because his leash is so short, that people will try their best to label him a bust. Let me talk through that, because I'm really close to you, but I'm not worried because his talent level, he shouldn't even be in the bust conversation. With this roster they have this year and a new coach, they shouldn't be in a situation to put Baker in a bust conversation. But Baker brought this on himself.
He did.
Baker brought this on himself. First of all, you keep saying how much you loved him in college to the tune of when he got to the NFL and kind of jumped over the part that he was the first overall pick, which was a surprise to many, including myself.
Okay.
A lot of people are like, I know he's going to be a top pick. Number one overall, Baker Mayfield? Okay, interesting. So I think right now you look at that as a starting point, and then Baker comes in with the camera crews, comes out. Look, he does break Peyton Manning's rookie season record for touchdown passes, ties that. So then people start saying, okay, he is something. He did earn up to that number one overall pick. But then the camera crew kept rolling in commercial after commercial after commercial. And no one in all of those production meetings told him about the sophomore slump. And the sophomore slump is basically a guy who thinks he's arrived and doesn't go back to square one to reset his focus and goals. He thinks he already did something. And then sophomore slump, wow, hit Baker Mayfield. So what changes now? Baker Mayfield, the dog in him, wants to bark louder. He picks a fight with coaches. He picks a fight with the establishment. He picks a fight with our own Colin Cowherd, my favorite person I lied about, which I love you too. My point is, Baker Mayfield didn't make allies out there. There are a lot of people who wish Baker Mayfield bad. And if he were to fall off the cliff, they would say good riddance rather than give him a helping hand.
So you said that Baker might not get the proper due in terms of perception.
Perception.
The problem is your interception, they affect your perception. And Baker has too many interceptions. And that is completely affecting his perception.
Yeah.
You have to be worried about Baker being a bust if no other reason than what's behind that man's shoulder. Behind that man's shoulder is Case Keenum.
Oh, no. Are we going to do this again?
I'm not going to stop.
We've been working for a month, dog. Two Case Keenum love stories.
Who was Case Keenum coached by last year? Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, sir. Who has Case Keenum been coached by before? Bill Callahan, the offensive coordinator. The offensive line coach right now for the Browns. So Case Keenum, the Browns said this, the Browns site, not myself. He said he can finish Kevin Stefanski's football sentences.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Case Keenum can finish the man's football sentences. Marcellus, you're a smart man.
Mm.
If you can finish somebody's football sentences,
you
can finish somebody's football game.
Yeah, but you can't start their game,
bro.
You ain't going to start this.
If you're talking about Baker being a bust, my second biggest concern is this.
Oh.
In college, the Baker who transcended talent, his confidence, it followed his success. The problem in the NFL, Baker's confidence has preceded his success.
Mm.
And therefore, the top of his mountain was so high, the top of his talent was so high, the fall, it will be very, very long if he don't show up this year because, like you said, he got all the weapons at his disposal.
That's the thing. He has all the weapons, healthy weapons. Mm-hmm. Odell shouldn't have been playing last year.
That's
we saw that. Jarvis Landry had his issues. They didn't have the chemistry last year. They all collectively thought that if our individual talent adds up to a Voltron effect, nobody can mess with us. And because of the youth, inexperience, and maybe immaturity, they made the wrong calculation. But Baker knows his back is against the wall. And last time I checked, when Baker Mayfield's back is against the wall, since you know him so well.
He show up.
I mean, how you
he show out?
Show out, walk on. Oh, it ain't for me? Okay, walk on. Let me go win a Heisman, number one overall pick. Once again, he's in that position in perception because we're talking about a guy going into his third year who now has a fully loaded roster and a real head coach, it looks like, at least on paper. Last time, he didn't even have a real head coach on paper. So now we're going to see a Baker Mayfield walk into a situation, humble, letting his words follow his actions, and hopefully that could lead him to some greatness. Let's move to a couple of guys who definitely aren't busts. Woo. Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Expectations for both of these guys are sky high after amazing seasons last year, with Lamar winning MVP and Deshaun putting on some heroic performances. And both are among the MVP favorites, according to Fox Bet. Lamar has the second best odds to win it, while Deshaun is number five. So, Acho, who do you think is more likely to take home the MVP award? Deshaun, Lamar.
Lamar! And there's no slight to Deshaun. I think Deshaun actually isolated, is a better overall quarterback as far as on any team. But how can Deshaun win MVP? With what weapons?
Ooh.
With what weapons?
We going here.
Okay, DeAndre Hopkins, that bad, bad man.
That dude.
He contributed 20% of the Texans' offense last year. DeAndre Hopkins now plays for the Arizona Cardinals, coach.
They
play for the Arizona Cardinals. The other receivers on that roster, you got Will Fuller. He was a beast. He was a bad man. Big time, big
fast.
Player. Fast
Fuller.
But he's only ever had 699 yards at the most in his season.
We got Hopkins there. Ain't going to get much rock.
You got Kenny Stills.
There you go.
Kenny Stills, also another bad man. Does a lot of stuff off the field, even more so than on the field. Kenny Stills, he ain't never had a 1,000-yard season. And Kenny Stills, he can go. You got Randall Cobb.
There you go.
He ain't seen 1,000 yards since 2014. Okay, you got David Johnson. David Johnson, they got him at running back in that trade for DeAndre Hopkins. David Johnson, a bad man now. He ain't balled since 2016.
I mean,
and I love David Johnson.
My wrist.
But the problem is, how can Deshaun Watson win MVP with what weapons? Okay, you're going to say this, Acho. You're going to say, well, they brought in Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, he's been maligned. He ain't really been like that. You're going to say, okay, Acho, well, they made some additions in the draft. Did they? They didn't make an offensive addition in the draft until the fourth round.
Mm.
That was a tackle.
Wow.
Until the fifth round at wide receiver. A guy from Rhode Island who hopefully he steps up. But with the plethora of receivers in this draft, you ain't find nobody. So Deshaun Watson not winning MVP, no slight to Deshaun. But I just don't know how he going to do it, Marcel. Please, help me.
I will help you. Remember I told you, I was 16 years old, mm-hmm. begging my mama, could I push that Honda Accord? Mm-hmm. And you were just entering this world and doing that. Remember those days?
No, I don't.
You don't.
I don't.
Exactly. Let me help you remember how this process works.
Please.
You gave it to me strictly with a focus on the field mm-hmm. and roster construction and what guys haven't done when DeAndre Hopkins was sitting there saying, I'm always open.
Always.
And how are they going to perform going forward? Let me give you the equation. It's your performance mm-hmm. and then the voter's perception, reception of that performance, and then that turns into the MVP. So MVP, we usually say, is the best player. But then there's times when the MVP widens the scope into something that we're just not familiar with. Mm-hmm. We'd rather vote for a breakthrough player than the old perennial already did it. Been there, done that. Mm-hmm. So when we look at this situation, voters, they don't like eating the same dish, even if you make it the second time better. Lamar Jackson could go out there literally and have a better season.
That's fair.
He kind of did that in college. Did he win the Heisman when he had a better season? What happened? Some voter looked around and said, saw that already. Saw you do spin moves. Saw you light up defenses before. Can you do it differently and do it greater? That's what opens up the opportunity for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson sitting on a team, offensive continuity. You lose Hopkins, but you named all the receivers that they have. Tremendous depth at that position. You can dust off DJ. Come on now. We can get you back to where you were because now you're going to be counted on, needed, and you're in a place where you have a breath of fresh air. And then there's Deshaun Watson, where the bar has been set lower in terms of what he needs to accomplish. Think about it. Deshaun Watson goes out there, wins a playoff game or two. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, yes! If Lamar Jackson doesn't even make it to the Super Bowl, people going to look at him like, y'all won 14 games last year. You were the MVP. Thought you were trying to keep pace with Patrick Mahomes. Kind of a letdown. So there's going to be a relief for anything that Deshaun Watson does. And then you see Lamar Jackson do something, he might be disappointed, even though it's great.
I'm going to give you this. This is what I'm going to give you. If Deshaun Watson does somehow win a playoff game or two, maybe he should, because he's winning in spite of his head coach, Bill O'Brien.
Oh,
okay, let's just call a spade
okay,
a spade.
Okay.
He's winning in spite of his head coach, Bill O'Brien. Mm. But what you haven't accounted for, Marcellus, is the fact that I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, about, now you're feeling it.
I understand what you're saying about
come on.
You get tired. You
voter
get
fatigue.
Voter fatigue.
It's a thing.
But also, you have to remember, the MVPs in the past, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, many of those players make it to the Super Bowl. They at least win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson, he hasn't done that.
No. Don't you do that about Buffalo. Yeah. You forgot that about Buffalo game. We got to be prepared for these situations and these arguments. Now, he didn't win that game, really. Buffalo lost it.
Thank you.
But the same thing is, Lamar Jackson has these insane expectations. I played with a guy by the name of Barry Sanders. Heard of him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, it's not even a question. That's the best running back ever. However, there is a conversation. He's not the best. You know why? Because as soon as they saw him do amazing things, they said, wow, can you do that again and make it add up to something? Team success. And if it doesn't add up to team success, they start to slight you. So now Barry Sanders finds himself in a conversation with a Emmitt Smith.
But remember, we've already seen the wow plays from Deshaun. Don't act like we haven't.
What wow?
We haven't seen Deshaun get kicked in the eye with one eyeball, throw a touchdown pass.
Is that the same as Lamar Jackson doing double clockwise reverse spins and then winning 14 games? And the people are like, look, this is the best season we've seen statistically maybe from a quarterback ever. No one's ever placed that label on Watson. Mm-hmm. So the point of it is, if you're Lamar Jackson, you've already broke through. Now they're going to want to see you do it differently and do it greater. How can he do that? There's no answer to it right now. Coming up, Tom Brady continues to set the bar high, but does the GOAT really have anything left to prove? We get into that next. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Talking about ED isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED,
all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan possible. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/speak and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/speak to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/speak for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/speak.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, sponsored by KFC's $20 Fill Up. Drive-thrus open or get delivered by Grubhub. Let's move to Tom Brady, who after 20 years in New England decided to start a new journey with a new team at the ripe old age of 42. Brady has already accomplished everything there is to accomplish in the NFL, but he is talking like he's still got a lot left to prove, posting to Instagram, quote, "A quarterback must believe in himself. His work must convince his teammates that he can be trusted when all else fails." We're joined now by the one and only NFL analyst, LeVar Arrington.
He's back.
But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you.
Please.
Does Tom Brady still have something to prove?
Yes, he has something to prove. And he knows it. And that's why he's doing all this motivational talk and proverbs and passages. Mm-hmm. And he's hanging out with the millennials on Instagram every day trying to post these things because he needs to be fully motivated for the task at hand. Tom Brady is facing what Bill Belichick once faced, which is, who wants their success tied to another man? Mm. No one does. You want it to be done. You want it to be written on its own merit for you and you alone. That's what's so crazy and ironic about playing in the ultimate team sport, when you have to go down in history, down in folklore, tied as a couple, as a duo. And Tom Brady doesn't want that. Bill Belichick knows what that feels like, because there was a time where Bill Belichick was tied to Bill Parcells. It was Tuna and Belichick. And Belichick finally had to go on his own to go find the opportunity to show everyone that he could stand on his own two feet. Tom Brady's in that same position right now, fully motivated to show that he can do it without Belichick. Belichick was able to prove he could do it without Parcells. Now Tom Brady's trying to do the same thing. Think about it. We're looking at Jerry Jones still chasing his tail, trying to escape the whole Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson success of the past. So this is a thing in NFL, in the NFL world. Tom Brady right now is kind of feeling like, and I don't know if you know about New Edition, Acho, but New Edition's an old group, you know. And they had a guy by the name of Bobby Brown in that group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after their third album, it was kind of like, you know, they plateaued, at least was starting to come down the hill a little bit. And Bobby Brown was like, oh, y'all think I got to go down with the ship? I am Bobby Brown. I am going to go out there and show you who I am. And Bobby Brown went out there a solo creep and acted up and made some noise. That's where Tom Brady is right now. He's saying it's my prerogative, and I'm going to go out there and do what I want. And he's going to get it.
Well, don't be cruel.
Don't be.
Tom Brady, I ain't got to prove nothing
okay,
to you.
Okay, y'all lost me. Y'all lost me. This is not Drake. This is not Lil Wayne.
Hey, this is not Lil Uzi Vert.
Hey, he has nothing to prove. And I'm going to take your argument points, which were so eloquently delivered and so well put. But I'm going to reframe them and put them in the right framing. You put them in the wrong frame. So let me help you out here, Marcellus.
I'm here.
It's not those things to prove, not to prove that you can't do it with Belichick, not to prove that you're not too old to do it, not to prove that you can still win. The word you use that is the correct word is motivation. He is motivated beyond belief to show that he can do the things that people may not think that he can do. But in terms of proving, his resume is way too strong. It's way
his
too
resume
bad.
Or their resume.
His resume. Super Bowl winning quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Can I get him? LeVar, please. You got me yesterday.
I had to pick myself up from the canvas. Okay, after you hit me with that one on the chin. But LeVar, you're out here telling these lies. Here's the thing about lies. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all listening close to what I'm about to say.
Ooh.
Lies sound a lot like the truth. See, what LeVar did, he changed one little word when he said his resume. The problem, LeVar, is that Tom Brady has no resume that exists outside of Bill Belichick. You see, Bill Belichick's signature is at the bottom of Tom Brady's resume. So when Brady goes to submit his resume, if you look at the very bottom, you're going to be, see, signed and notarized by Bill Belichick.
Notarized!
Because Brady doesn't have that. Why Brady has something to prove is this. In sports, when you look at the greats, we don't often get the opportunity to find out, was it the player or was it the coach? Ooh. Think about it. Was it Jordan or was it Phil Jackson? Ooh. Was it Kobe or was it Phil Jackson? Was it Kobe or was it Shaq? Oh, we got to find that one out. Ooh. Was it Tim Duncan or was it Pop? Ooh. See, but this time, we're going to find out, was it Belichick or was it Brady? Because in 2008, when Brady went down, Matt Castle, he went 10-5. He got paid. 2016, when the Patriots won the Super Bowl, remember, I believe Brady was suspended for those first four games.
And they went 3-1.
Jimmy G, he got paid. Jacoby Brissett, he became a starter. So what we do know is, what we have seen is this. If you're a quarterback under Belichick, you're going to ball and you're going to get paid. But what we haven't seen, sir, is Tom Brady without Belichick.
And we have not seen Belichick without Tom Brady.
We have. I just told you.
We have.
No.
Those rings that are on Tom Brady's hands, right? He is the starting quarterback for all of those rings. Yes? Yes or no?
Yes, he is.
So the argument that you're using, that you're trying to use against me by tainting and turning the rules or changing the meaning of a word is what you're doing in favor of Bill Belichick. We don't know what Bill Belichick will do without Tom Brady. We don't know what Bill Belichick's resume is without Tom Brady.
I do.
How many Super Bowls does he have? How many more does he have than Tom Brady?
Two.
Please tell me.
Two.
As a head coach?
No, as a defensive coordinator. As a defensive coordinator, he won two.
Hold on.
But as a head coach, the only good thing he did without Tom Brady, and this is amazing, even though it's going to be laughable, he won a playoff game in Cleveland. You know the last time they won a playoff game in Cleveland? When Bill Belichick won that playoff game,
that means something.
No one else has done that. So even if it's only this much, it's more than Tom Brady has without Bill Belichick. So Tom Brady knows that in this race, if Tom Brady falls flat on his face in Tampa Bay, people going to say, boy, you were kind of a system quarterback maybe.
Don't say it. It means absolutely nothing.
I'm not saying
that they're accurate, but that will be a conversation that Tom Brady is trying to get rid of.
How many system quarterbacks are in the wasteland of no Super Bowls, not very many playoff wins? There's a lot of them. Bottom line is, we can look at so many great names in the history of this game. Look no further than your guy in Buffalo that went to four straight. We'll probably never see that ever done again. How many of them did he get? All right, so we don't know what Jim Kelly would have been if he played for another team. To sit there and make the argument that one depends on the other and now to prove that one isn't significant to the other is ridiculous as an argument, because everybody needs a system. Everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a quarterback. If you don't have one, the other can't exist without it. So even if they win in Tampa Bay, it doesn't prove anything. It just proves that Arians is a good coach. It proves that Leftwich did what he needed to do, and Tom Brady continued to be Tom Brady. It's pieces. It's pieces to the puzzle. One can't exist without the other. It's not he's overcoming this guy.
LeVar coming in here talking about chemistry and talking about chemical equations. You need a little bit of Brady, a little bit. No, LeVar.
It's apples to apples
right now. This isn't apples to oranges. We are going to get to see what is Belichick's record at the end of the season, what is Brady's record at the end of the season.
One's a coach, one's a player.
There are a lot more contributing factors to their success. We don't care about all that. We're going to see, hey, Belichick, what you got without Tom? Hey, Tom, what you got without Belichick? Because you said we haven't seen Belichick without Brady. We have.
Y'all the shallow Howe brothers.
He's 13
Y'all
and
shallow
six.
For this.
Did you hear
Y'all
that?
So
did you hear
shallow.
That? 13
he can be 13. I did hear that.
And then you also
All
know
I'm
that they've been married for 20 years. And we can just keep this simple, because you're letting the facts get in the way of a good story right now. And the fact of the matter is, if you with somebody for 20 years, the day y'all finally divorce, both parties are under the microscope of how they're going to succeed without each other. And all we're saying is,
but does that do anything to what the relationship was for 20 years?
It was amazing. We know it was amazing. But Belichick had been married before.
Brady was fighting for a starting job at Michigan and was a sixth rounder.
You know, if we were in a courtroom in a court of law, both of y'all would be the guilty. I would say no more questions, no further questions, Your Honor, because y'all both sat there and agreed with the point that if the 20 years were an amazing 20 years, if you leave the marriage, it doesn't matter what you do after that because you're judging them off of the relationship of what they represented within that relationship. You don't have to go to another relationship to prove that you're a good person or that you can stay married.
Oh, you need to succeed after that relationship. Yes, you do.
You don't have...
What?
There's nothing to prove
this
after
is what
that.
We gonna, this is what's going
to
be proven.
You don't have to go get married again.
This
you
is what,
gotta go get married again? No.
He ain't getting married, but he's
going
to date right.
This is what's going to be proven. What we're going to find out is who was holding that relationship together. Like I said, it's since 2008. I'm talking about recent history. That was when Belichick has been 13-6 without Tom. We're going to find out who was
with
holding
no Super
that
Bowls.
Lovely marriage together, LeVar. Was it Belichick really holding them down? Or was it Tom? Was Tom the one
coaches
really holding everything down?
Two different things.
What'd
players
you say?
And coaches are players and coaches are two different things.
Oh, that was deep. That was real deep right there.
I mean, it's just sensible. So y'all are making a nonsensible argument basing the comparison of will a coach outdo a player or will
no,
a player
what we're
outdo
trying to do is allocate, the properly allocate, who gets the right, the lion's share of the credit in a dynasty. Because if you're going to sit
Tom
there and
Brady
say it was 50-50, it wasn't.
They were both there.
Yes, they were both there, but one of them created a system, created a platform, created a culture.
Talk about it.
And we want to know, was it 51-49?
That's what I
want to
know. That's what I want to know.
The coach is always going to be the catalyst because they have to pick the player. So that nullifies the argument right there. The point is,
what? He paid Drew Bledsoe. He played
Drew. Don't worry about it, Marcus. LeVar just talking. He's just using big words now because, you know, he's losing on it. He's just using big words.
Stop that.
I got to go to break, LeVar. Coming up. The MLB is back, LeVar. The MLB is back, okay? I'm done with you. And there's no shortage of huge stories on opening day. Our guy Tom Verducci will tell us what to make of it all. The MLB's back, baby. Next, speak for yourself.
This week, Fox Saturday Baseball is back. The Cubs clash with the Brewers at 1, the Dodgers battle the Giants at 4, and the Yankees face the World Series champion Nationals at 7. Celebrate the return of baseball with a special triple header Saturday, only on the Fox and the Fox Sports app. Here to talk opening day with us is our guy, Fox MLB analyst Tom Verducci. Got a ton to talk about, so let's get to it and stay here, right here in L.A. Was it a smart move for the Dodgers to sign Mookie Betts to a 12-year Patrick Mahomes extension?
Yeah, listen, it wasn't about that 12th year when Mookie's 39 years old. It's about this guy's one of the top five players in baseball, and you are locking up his prime years. We all know the Dodgers hadn't spent anything more than $100 million on a player, and people thought, no, maybe that's their new philosophy. No, they were waiting for the right time, right player. Now, listen, they first thought it was Gerrit Cole. Remember, they tried to get Cole this winter. Gerrit wanted to pitch for the Yankees. Plan B was Mookie, and they made the deal with the Red Sox. And listen, they wanted to extend Mookie when they made that deal, but once they had him in camp, it was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. They were convinced after watching this guy, he was actually better than advertised, both in his skills and the way he was helping younger hitters, attitude in the clubhouse, definition of a franchise player. So, yeah, smart move.
Now, Tom, there were some doubts that superstar Mike Trout was going to play this season, but he said that he is going to play this upcoming season. How important was it for the league's best player to say this?
Yeah, I thought that was huge because when he first came out and he was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to play this year or not, I think it opened the door a crack for other players who are on the fence. If Mike Trout goes home, it makes it easier for other players to make that difficult decision. So he's all in. His wife is pregnant. He will go home in August when she's ready to deliver. But Mike Trout signing up, giving a firm commitment for the 2020 season, I thought that was huge. It was a great signal for the other players.
Now, Tom, let's move to my favorite city outside the U.S., Toronto. Okay. Ooh, I love me some T-Dot. Hello. Let's talk about the Blue Jays, who can't play home games in Canada, and they can't play in Pennsylvania either. So what is the latest on their home game situation?
Well, they're talking to the Orioles, and the Orioles are basically saying, hey, we got a room over here. We can have you. You can host you guys. But now they've got to get a clearance with the government, local and state officials in Maryland. Of course, that was the hang up in Pittsburgh, where they said, no, we can't allow people to keep coming in, not just you, but the other teams, to come into an area where the COVID-19 has been spiking. So they're going to try to see if they get clearance to play there. In the meantime, what they can do, remember, they talked about playing in Buffalo, where they have their AAA ballpark. The problem there is that that ballpark is not up to major league standards in terms of their lighting and clubhouse facilities. So if they can buy some time, whether it's in Baltimore or maybe someplace else, or maybe playing strictly on the road for the first couple of weeks, well, they can renovate and upgrade Buffalo. Maybe Buffalo winds up being their home. But the idea that they're going to play 60 road games in 66 days, I mean, I just don't know if that's going to happen. That's asking way too much of a major league team to be on the road for 2.5 months.
Yeah, Tom, you talk about those 60 games, 66 days, what you have. But there's still some logistical issues to sort out, even on the back end. Baseball's talked about extending the playoffs from 10 teams to 16. Do you like this idea?
I do like this idea, and the players should really like it. I mean, first of all, you're talking about 156 more players who have the opportunity to compete in postseason baseball. That's why they play the games, man, to get a chance to win a championship. So you're giving them more of an opportunity. You're also giving them more money, either immediately or residually, because it's worth another $300 million in TV money with an expanded postseason just this year alone. So I think that also folds into the free agent market. If there's more money in play, there'll be more money for free agents. So I think it's something that makes a lot of sense. Listen, this is a year we know is unlike any other year. We already have rules with extra innings, a guy on second base, DH in the National League. Go ahead, expand the postseason. I'm all for it.
Now, since there are only 60 games, will the World Series winner have Acho's favorite word, an asterisk?
I don't think so. I actually think this is going to be a special champion. If we get to the World Series uninterrupted, the team that gets there will have earned it, because it does require incredible discipline. Yeah, discipline. Usually we talk about strike zone discipline or fundamentals on defense, but you guys know that getting through this season is about not just injuries, but staying healthy and following protocols. And if one knucklehead gets out of line, he's risking the entire team. So, yes, I do believe, listen, it's going to be a different year. 162 games really test the mettle of a team's depth just to get to the postseason. But I think circumstances are so different this year, playing in ballparks without fans, social distancing, health and safety protocols that cover 101 pages, that, yeah, these guys will have earned it in a very different way. But to me, it'll be a different kind of year. It'll be a memorable year, but no asterisk.
All right. Well, enjoy opening day, brother. Have a Dodger dog or something for baseball is back. We're excited. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
That's good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Coming up, the NBA is about to relaunch, but will the lack of fans in Orlando actually burst the association's bubble? Find out next. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai.
Time now for Rewarding Performance, sponsored by Capital One. What's in your wallet? Let's move to the NBA, which is looking for some rewards as they relaunch the season in Orlando. No doubt basketball fans couldn't be more excited. There's just one problem. They won't be allowed at the game. A lot of people around the league are concerned about how the players will react. But Lou Williams says that the guys on the bench are just going to have to bring the energy to everyone on the floor. Joined now by NBA analyst Slick Rick, that man himself. But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you. You think the lack of fans is going to be an issue for the players?
I don't think it will be. Look, it's going to be a retraining for the players. We're all social creatures. We're all conditioned animals, especially players. You talk about physical conditioning, which we always put an emphasis on. But how about mental conditioning, which we sometimes put emphasis on? But a little deeper than that goes into the retraining of the mind for these players. If you think about it, it's just something that you have to get used to, like anything that is new in your perspective. So for these players who practice all the time in closed environments, quiet environments, get great run, and you can see them if you go to some of these local gyms, and if you're privileged to know some of these guys, you get to see them go out there and exhaust themselves in controlled, quiet environments. It's kind of the same thing with these players. It's going to be something that at first they're going to have to think through, but then it's going to become second nature. So
I know it may sound counterintuitive, but to find the energy to play the game, it comes from between the ears, the mind. The mind is so powerful in these moments. It can make you at the free throw line drown out 20,000 people and you don't hear anything but the swish of that net. Or it could be the same mind that can let you hear that guy in the 300 section say, you're going to miss that free throw. The mind is a powerful instrument. Right now, they're going to realign it, use that mind to its power and to its strength.
You know, Marcellus, as someone who studied psychology, I love when you bring up the mind. But my mind tells me that you're wrong.
Your mind's telling you no.
My mind tells me that you're wrong. It's, of course, it's going to be an issue for the players. This ain't the old school, Marcellus, and I hate to age you at times, but I have to. You see, when I was playing for the Eagles, our coach would always tell us and make us recite that you don't rise to the occasion. You sink to your level of training. You see, that was a Navy SEAL mindset. That was a Navy SEAL quote. And while it was incredible, it was impactful, and those words are very strong, we ain't Navy SEALs, okay? We're athletes. And you sometimes you do it for the gram.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do it for Twitter. Sometimes you do it for social media. These athletes, bro, while some of them may not necessarily need the fans to get them hype, you got to remember, bro, some people, they do rise to the occasion. Like, some people, they're just gamers. That's why you got some dudes that just go, oh, he a gamer. I played with several dudes on the Eagles, whether it's LeSean McCoy, whether it's D-Jack, even Nick Foles, Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. You would look at some of those guys in practice and be like, how in the world do you do this? But when the lights come on, hey, they go crazy. So I do think that it's going to be an issue because you got to find that juice from somewhere. And you're not finding that juice from your dude on the bench going, defense. That's just not real, bruh. That's just not real. What you got, Slit?
Oh, man.
Acho, I don't know how many times you and I have agreed, but this is one of them. And I first of all, doesn't it just kind of sound funny to you guys that we're talking about or we're having NBA players talk about who's going to cheer for us?
Right.
It just sounds weird. But that said, I do believe there are players. The first guys that come to mind are Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, who play to the crowd. You can see whether it's playing to or against, they play to it. And that energy does fill them. I do think there are top players that are not going to have that going for them. On the flip side, it being quieter and it not being a hostile environment, I think you're going to see guys, those guys that are on the bench cheering, when they come off the bench, it's not going to have the same pressure as on the road when they have to come in and be efficient in six, seven minutes and knock down one or two big shots. It's not going to carry the same pressure. I think the people that are going to be affected the most, though, are the officials, because they are going to hear every single thing said about them by the players, and we are too. And they're going to have to respond to that. They can't pretend that that dude isn't bad-mouthing them. And you're going to see more technicals as a result of that and maybe not as much influence by the top players in berating the referees and pushing them in their direction, because they're not going to have a crowd cheering behind them getting on those referees as well.
I can excuse Acho for disagreeing with me.
Thank you.
He's just a young little millennial, you know what I'm saying? But you, Slick Rick, a historian.
I feel the slap wrist coming here.
Oh, it's coming. Slick Rick, you're a historian of the game. One of the greatest controlled environment scrimmages we ever heard of was the 1992 Dream Team scrimmage, right? I don't remember the fans in there. I remember watching it during the Jordan documentary, and this thing was on fire. They're still talking about this decades later. And look at those fans. Oh, you don't see anything. All I see is lime green seats. And that's what I'm saying. We can't forget what an athlete is. One in a million. Self-motivated. I don't have a gym membership. I run up my backyard and my backyard hill or the apartment steps. Whatever you need to do, I don't have a basket. I use a milk carton and I just find ways. That's what athletes are. So right now I'm looking at this situation and you guys are thinking too much about it, too hard about it. And let me describe what a thinking man is losing in versus a man who's just feeling the moment, feeling the environment. Acho talks about his psychology studies, not his psychology degree like I have from Columbia University. And let's talk about this, how cognitive response is up to 6 million times slower
than intuitive response. Have you ever been somewhere and felt something, but then your mind starts trying to figure out and calculate what's really going on? Your mind is trying to catch up to what you feel. That's why every coach always tells you, find your zone. Get to a place where you're not thinking out there, you're just feeling it. The plays are second nature. Your conditioning, everything is second nature. These players right now are going through that process. They're thinking about crowd noise. But sooner or later, it's going to become muscle memory. There is no crowd noise. And then they get into that zone once again where you're intuitive and you just make those shots. So you could talk about LeBron playing to the crowd all you want and the crowd's reaction. But what makes the crowd react? His actions. The ball going in the hoop, him blocking that shot. That's what makes the crowd erupt. So what precedes any crowd energy is you going out there and doing it, and these players are going to still do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not let Marcellus bamboozle you all with his usage of big words. Cognitive. Intuitive. He out here using these SAT words. Spell him, Marcellus.
Huh?
Spell him.
What'd you say?
This is what I'm going to spell out for you. Think about a guy like Joel Embiid, a superstar in the NBA. If the crowd didn't matter, explain this. How can you be 29-2 at home, having the best home record, but be 10-24 on the road?
Oh, I got a different answer.
Best record.
I got a different
explain
answer for that
me,
one.
Sir, if the crowd didn't matter, if the crowd wasn't such a major point in the player's performance, then how can you explain such varying results? Joel Embiid is the type of guy who's going to get on IG as soon as the game is over, and he's going to fire off a tweet and fire off an IG post before he even responds to a commentator, before he even responds to a reporter. And you brought up the Dream Team. You brought up the Dream Team. How dare you bring up guys like Magic and Jordan and Pippen and all them dudes and talk about some regular other guys like this. You can't compare the Dream Team to teams in the bubble right now. You just compared apples, not even to oranges, bro. Apples to plums or to bananas, sir.
Well, you act like there are no superstars in the NBA today, and these are going to be the higher seeded teams and the playoff teams. So there's some superstars out there. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, all the Clippers. And then Lakers and LeBron, all them. Anyway, Slick Rick, can you just explain to this youngster the difference in mindset and focus of playing a home game versus an NBA road game?
Oh, like, how does that happen?
In Miami?
The crowd, sir.
The crowd.
The crowd plays a factor.
The hotel room and the hotel night before has something to do with that, too. But Slick Rick, I'll let you handle this.
I hate to tell you, Marcellus, but our millennial friend is on to something.
Oh, stop it. Don't hate to tell him the
truth. You're pulling out the 92 Dream Team out of the archives. What was that year again? It was 1992. How far away are we from that? And how much have we talked on this program about the difference in the circumstances and the way players are developed and brought up in the game today? These players have just, they come from a different place and they've had a different experience. And I dare say the guys on the Dream Team would have come up in the same way if they came up in this era. But the fact of the matter is, yes, the social media, fans, the attention, all of that. These guys are used to having that. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I'm not saying it's across the board that all of them are going to be affected the same way. But certainly there are guys that are going to be missing that extra boost that they get from having 20,000 people shout their name. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation that was brought up by players saying, who's going to cheer for us?
Man, them players are playing victim right now. They know damn well. Look, when you started playing AAU, it was 9 people there. You were getting it. Then you get to high school, it's 200 people there. You were getting it. You go to college, you got 10,000 there. You were getting it. And then as 20,000, you were getting it. And if no one was there, you would still have to get it. I started my career in broadcasting with a studio audience. And every time we would say something, they go, ooh, ah, laugh track, all that kind of stuff, it felt like. Right now, Slick Rick, you're in a room by yourself. Right now, I'm in this studio. It's butt naked in here. Like nothing. The furniture echo. Hello? 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 And I'm still bringing the funk. Still bringing the thunder. You don't need that. It's a luxury, not a necessity. Please don't put these players in that weakened mindset that they need that.
You know that, and I know that. But do they know that? We're going to find that out.
I don't know. No. If they do. You tell me.
At the end of the day, they gonna need the crowd noise, Marcellus. That's what it comes down to.
Stop it.
Coming up, Baker Mayfield trying to prove he's not a bust this season. Uncle Jimmy, he gonna tell us if Baker can get his act together. Next, speak for yourself.
Nobody in here. We get it. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's talk Baker Mayfield, who is heading into year three and feeling a ton of pressure to prove the Browns weren't crazy to take them number one overall. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy. And Uncle Jimmy, that nice pad you got there. I see you spending all that new money. You worried Baker will be a bust?
Hey, man. Emmanuel.
What's up, Aunt?
Remember when you first got here? Remember what I told you?
What you tell me?
Unlike most people, I like you. What did Marcellus say at the beginning of this show? Colin, you're my favorite person in this studio.
He did. I heard.
And suddenly his ass remembered you about to cash that Oprah check. See, he's just like Baker Mayfield, except he's not a bust. He's a buster. See, Baker Mayfield's the only dude in NFL history to ever have more commercials than he had touchdowns. Ooh. But the one thing that he and Baker do have in common, let me put it like this. They've both been accused of a lot of things, but no one will ever accuse them of trying to be in the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Hey, look, I replaced Colin on two different shows, so I got to thank that brother. say what y'all want about this. And where are you living now, Uncle? Because I know you got that new contract. What's
up? You. Just remember that. Bro, I like you.
Oh, here you go. Look at that. That's it for us since he won't invite us over. Talk to y'all later.